So it was when all the kings and the Amorites on the west side of the Jordan and the Canaanites and all the rest of the ites heard the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan because of the children of Israel until we had crossed over, their hearts melted and they had no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. We should not be afraid of them. They should be afraid of us. That's not what I'm preaching about, but it's too good to pass up. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the heel of the foreskin. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, they had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were the men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed or they died because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, I just ask you to reveal yourself. Show us yourself, Lord. God, I pray that you will break down any religious barrier. I pray that this morning we'll be able to hear your clear gospel. And God, I pray for our president, Lord. I pray that you will visit with him and speak to him. I pray for President-elect Biden, God, that he will have an experience with you. Lord, I pray for Pelosi and McConnell, all of them, God, all of our Congress. I pray that all of them will have an experience with the risen Lord. And your wisdom will flow. And God, I pray for our country, Lord, that you will draw us to yourself. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for what you're going to do. God, I'm praying for Corona to dry up and die, Lord. And God, I pray that you will receive the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, now we started something last week that we're going to continue for a few weeks because I feel like it's the word that the Lord spoke to me that we're supposed to walk in this year. All right. And the word of the Lord that the Lord spoke to me was that he's ready to tear down walls that are in our promised land. Now, promised land is not what you want. It's what God wants to give you. Notice he said the land which I'm giving you. His promised land. And he knows that there are walls in it. He knows there are giants in it. And he's saying, look, I want you to start possessing some of the promises that Jesus Christ bought and paid for. Amen? Anybody here has possessed all the promises God has for you? No. And if you say yes, you ain't possessed none of them. Anyway. And we talked about last week, the only way you're going to look to possess what God has given you, you've got to do it God's way. Are you hearing me? You're not going to talk God into doing your plan. Now, we keep trying. We keep begging. He's going to do his plan. Are you hearing me? And his plan, first of all, when the Joshua was looking at the city, already crossed over. He looked, and then there was a guy with a drawn sword, and he said, "Are you?" Joshua had to be from the south. You know, we size up. You know, you for us or for them? You know, he had a southern accent. "Hey, man," because Joshua was probably about to draw his sword. "You for us or for them?" He said, "Dude, neither. Neither. You got it all wrong." And see, we got it all wrong. God ain't on your side. God's on his side. And if you want to do well and possess your promised land, you need to get on his side. He told him, "No, I'm the captain of the armies of the Lord, and I'm here to take over." And then Joshua fell on his face, rightly so, and all the rest of it. Now, what I want you to understand is that God's in charge. And if God's not in charge, you're not going to tear down the walls, because he's going to ask you to do things that don't tear down walls in our mind. God's in charge. He's either Lord of all or he's Lord, not Lord at all. You can't compartmentalize God. "Well, I'm going to have God here, but in my play life, that's my own. In the way I do business, that's the way I do business. God, but I'll come to church, God." God's in charge. Second thing we learn, you can't do it alone. You got to have relationships. I know that offends some of you southern males. "I'm master and commander of my destiny." You love to hear Elvis sing, "I did it my way," you know. Well, your way is not very good and will doom you to failure. "Well, I've lived a good life." You have no idea what the life God had for you. Right? We need people. God ordained it. The people that tell me, and all you people at home that are watching, and we've got a large group that are watching, stay at home until God tells you to come back. I'm okay with that. But I'm telling you, the Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We need each other. We need to bear one another's burdens. I can't do that if I'm not around. Amen? That's why life groups are so important. Now, today we're going to take a next step. Today we're going to talk. I asked the Lord, "Can we just talk about something else?" But I want to explain, first of all, I want you to remember, the focus is not on the wall and the walls and the problems that you have. The focus needs to be on the promises, what God promises. And anything that gets in my way from that, I need to tear down. Amen? God promises me I can have peace in my marriage. If you don't have it, focus on what God promises and we will have it. We'll tear down the walls that are keeping us from having it. Does that make sense? All right. Well, today we're going to talk about circumcision. It's not a real popular subject amongst preachers. It's not a real popular subject amongst men. But, you know, why circumcision? And I want to show you what God was saying and doing. I want you to understand this because it's going to make the New Testament jump off the page when you see this. Circumcision, he says, look, they had already crossed over. All right, they had already crossed over. And he said, okay, I want you to take 3 days, circumcise everybody and all that because they had not been. We'll explain that in just a minute. But circumcision is to cut away, put off things that are unnecessary. It literally means to cut away. This wasn't the first time. It started in Genesis with Abraham. God's first covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17 says, I will establish my covenant. What is another word for covenant? Everybody say it with me. What? Promises. Talking about possessing the promised land. You got to have a covenant to possess the promised land. My covenant, my promises. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, their generation, for an everlasting covenant. Everybody say everlasting. Look at the next thing. It says, to you and your descendants after you, also I will give you and your descendants after you a land. He's talking about Cana. We're just talking about that. Joshua's there. He's taking the land as an everlasting for. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after throughout their generations. Look at the next one. This is incredible. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your descendants. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh, and it shall be a sign, everybody say sign, of the covenant between me and you. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Here, this is Abraham, he's a step. This shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Now, there's a lot of people think the way you wear your hair is a covenant. The way you do this, the way you dress is a sign of the covenant. No, that just tells me what church you go to. They don't tell me about Jesus. All right? But what I'm saying is this. He said circumcision would be a sign of an everlasting covenant. Well, circumcision is personal. Remember I said that. Circumcision is very personal. It started with Abraham, and it's part of receiving the promise. Just a cool thing. Listen, you should never be afraid of science. Should never be afraid of science. Science, true scientists, the more I learn about science, talking to Alan Wiederman, who's smart, he comes to first, he's the smartest guy in this church, you know, he's a scientist, and sometimes I just have to tell him, just stop talking, man. You lost me about five sentences ago, you know. But he said true scientists are proving the Bible all the time, he said, but they can't say anything because if they do, they have to admit that God did it all. But do you realize, just like this with circumcision, what I know I've heard a lot of sermons on to be circumcised. He said the command to be circumcised on the eighth day. On the eighth day. I know that's the number of new beginnings. I've heard sermons about that. Could it be that God knows how he made us? He told them to circumcise them on the eighth day after they were born because science has proven that the eighth day is when vitamin K hits your system as a newborn. Vitamin K is what helps your blood clot. Not clot, but coagulate. That's the word I'm looking for. It helps your blood. So God was saying, look, isn't it cool? The science has proven what God said. Smart. Don't do this until the eighth day. Now they give you a shot and you have it already. But what I'm saying is, he said, this is a sign of the covenant. Why didn't they have it? Why didn't they have it until after they crossed over Jordan? Because they had spent 40 years in the wilderness. The Lord didn't even mention it in the wilderness. The Lord didn't require it in the wilderness. The Lord didn't say one word about them being circumcised in the wilderness. Everybody look at me. Everybody hear me. Because you don't need a covenant to live in the wilderness. A lot of Christians live in wilderness living. I'm going to show you what that is in just a second. A lot of Christians are okay just to live out there without the promises of the covenant that God would be with me. He would direct my step. He gives me His love, joy, and peace, and direction, His power. God does all that. He says that He can have it. He says I can have peace in my home. He says I don't have to worry. He says I don't have to fear. All of those things are promised land living. But if you choose to live with those things, you don't need a covenant. So God never mentioned it. For 40 years, he never mentioned. But as soon as they started to take the promised land, okay, now you need to know what the covenant means. Now, what's the sign? Said this is a sign. Promised land living requires a covenant. Obviously, the Old Testament, you know that the Old Testament is types and shadows and symbolism of what he wanted to do through Christ. You understand that, don't you? That a lot of that stuff that, I mean, what kind of sign is a sign? I mean, was he saying, okay, all the ones circumcised, I want you to hang this around your neck. Walk around so people will know. Because I'm pretty sure they didn't walk around and show others whether they were circumcised or not. I mean, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen on the streets and all that, right? So was he saying, the children of Israel, all right, hang this sign around your neck. And then all the Gentiles, you bad people, we're going to hang this sign around your neck. You're uncircumcised. You reckon that's what God was talking about? I'd bet the farm not. I bet it's not this right here. What is the sign? Well, first of all, let's look at what circumcision does. It was what God really wants. He started telling us in the Old Testament. Look at Deuteronomy 10:16. He said this, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Of your heart. Then he really tells us in Colossians 2:11. Look at that. Colossians 2:11 says this. In him you were all circumcised with the circumcision without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now obviously God is talking about a sign that happens in our heart. Circumcision. If you turn your Bible to Colossians 3:5-11. It is possessing the promised land. If I'm going to possess the promises and the promised land, and I'm going to see walls, there are some of you, and I felt I want to say this prophetically because this wasn't part of my sermon, but there are some of you that have generational walls, generational sins that have been passed down from generation to generation. Your grandpa had this. Your grandma, your dad, your mom, they had this problem. It doesn't have to be an addiction. It doesn't have to be abuse. It might be insecurity. It might be fear. I don't know. But there's generational walls. You and I cannot possess our promised land until first we get rid of some things in our flesh. And that's what God was saying to, I want you to be a sign of the covenant. But first of all, we got to get rid of some things. You can't, look at me, you can't possess your promised land with unforgiveness. You can't possess your promised land with bitterness and offense. Look at Colossians 3. This is very personal. See, it goes back. It's a symbol. It's between you. Therefore, put to death your members which are of the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is upon the sons of disobedience, which are non-Christians. Everybody look at me. Sooner or later, the wrath of God is going to come down. We are in the dispensation of grace. I can't stand it when preachers stand up and they say, the wrath of God is coming. No, no. The Bible clearly says he poured out the wrath of God upon his son, Jesus Christ. We live in a time that God is trying to draw everybody. He's trying to give them grace. But that time is going to come to an end. Sooner or later, when Jesus shows back up, the dispensation of grace is over. The wrath of God, the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked. Notice where Joshua was. He had already been saved. He had already crossed over. Christians are carrying so much stuff, we cannot possess our promised land. We carry so much disobedience, but look what he says. He goes deeper, not just actions, but he goes deeper. He starts digging into your motives in your heart. Look at it. But now, you yourself are to put off, circumcise, cut these things off. Don't let them stay comfortably. Let me just stop right here. Listen, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about progress. I'm not comfortable with these things in my life. And if they show up in my life, I'm going to attack them. I'm going to get rid of them. But if you are comfortable with it, if you're letting them stay there, you are not going to possess. You can't take the walls down. Look what he says. Anger, wrath. Well, that's just my personality. I'm an angry guy. No, you're a fleshly guy, because these are all flesh. Malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, uncircumcised, we are all together if we are in Christ. Do you see that? We cannot continue to carry things that will hold us back. Things that make you look like the world. Why are we trying to look like the world? Why are we trying to do the things the world does? It ends in a certain way. We need to put those things off. And when we put them off, guess what happens? We begin to tear down walls in our promised land. And we get more and more of our promised land. Anybody in here? Anybody in here? Anybody in here possessing all the promises God has for you? Anybody? It's, you know, all the promises are yes and amen in Christ, correct? So if I'm not possessing them, I got things in my life that I need. Look at me. You cannot carry unforgiveness and possess your promised land. You can, being easily offended, addictions, long-lasting sins, they weight you down. See, that's why it's very personal. They weight you down. You cannot live life like the world and possess your promised land. That's what he's saying. Cut off the things that you don't need. I don't need that unforgiveness. Don't waste one day in unforgiveness. People are going to hurt you. I mean, when Jesus Christ, you read, I ain't making it up. You read it, when the man in red, it's in the red, Jesus Christ says himself, it's impossible that offenses do not come. It happens. We make mistakes. Choose to forgive and move on. I'm not telling you to be a doormat if they keep doing it. Back up from them, but forgive them and move on. We cannot live with addictions and possess our promised land. Why? Everybody hear me. Because you are the sign that there is a covenant. I know some of you look like somebody put cement in your deodorant jar, and I'm going to We're going to have a little joy here. We're going to be happy before we leave here. Are you just going to be happy that you get to leave? I don't know. But we're going to have some smiles. Hey, listen, see, I know people bash church. I ain't going back to church. A bunch of hypocrites. La, 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 la. Well, if you find the perfect church, don't you join it, because you'll screw it up. It's full of imperfect people. I'm imperfect. I make mistakes. Amy makes mistakes. I know y'all don't believe that, but she does. But we don't want to make the same. We want to keep growing and possessing more of our promised land. Do you notice that God didn't tell them to attack the whole thing? He took them from one city to the next. He just wants you to, let's take this. That's why you've got to identify your stronghold. I'm going to take care of this one. We're going to deal with this one. We're going to win this battle. Then we go on to the next one. You've got to understand that the God of heaven, Jesus, ain't coming back no more to do stuff. When he comes back, he's going to come back as Lord of all to end things. Amen? Anybody read Revelation? Much as I understand, that's it right there. Right? Well, guess what? Silly Jesus thinks that us full of the Holy Spirit is enough. And we're going to be a sign that there's a covenant. Your freedom, your joy, your peace. I'm not against people social distancing and not coming to church. If you feel, we're keeping Jamie away. Okay? If you're going through stuff, I'm not against that. But if you do it out of fear, and there's a difference. If you do it out of fear, we should never be adorned with fear. We should never be adorned with anxiety and worry. Our sign should be a sign of the covenant. That we're under a covenant. Let me give you an example. Y'all remember the story of David and Goliath? I mean, it's pretty funny. I love the Bible because he puts people in there that are funny. And they're complete failures too. It encourages me. But here's what I'm saying, talking about that you are a sign. David shows up, David's dad sent him with food to his older brothers. And his older brothers, he was bringing them food. And twice a day, this guy named Goliath would come out, who, according to the Bible, was about 9 feet tall. Now, I've met big people. I got to see in college, Andre the Giant. Y'all remember Andre the Giant? Never seen a head. I was mesmerized by the size. His nose had to be that wide. It was just, hey, don't really talk just like he should have. Hey, how you doing? I never seen his hand just wrap. Goliath was bigger than him. He came out twice a day to taunt. Please hear me. Please listen. He came out twice a day to taunt the armies of God. David shows up, and what's one of the first things he said? David goes right to the... He gets personal right off the bat. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Let's just get personal. Who is this uncircumcised? That's what he says, that stands against the armies of the living God, to defy the armies of the living God. What was he saying? Guys, Why are we afraid of this guy? He don't have a covenant. We have a covenant. Why am I afraid of the world? They don't have a covenant. I've got a covenant. Why are we afraid of what's going on when the worst that can happen is death? And God says, how precious in my sight. Well done, good and faithful. Come on in. I mean, we pay good money to go places where it only took him 6 days to create. Around here, we go on vacation places. We go, oh, it's so beautiful. He's had thousands of years to prepare my place. Now, am I looking to die? No, I don't want to die. I'm just picking the worst. Lose my job. Oh, this. Oh, doomsday. I had a guy in this church. The guy said, Brother Allen, you got a big family. You need to be preparing. I said, what am I preparing for? He said, man, they going to cut us off. You know, you need to be preparing for doomsday so you can feed your family. I said, first of all, how healthy is it to have something that lasts 90 years? You know, I mean, my grandchildren be growing horns and third eyes. I don't know. But I mean, if it stays good for 90 years, I suspect whether it's good for me or not. It's just a thought. But he was after me a couple times. You know, I started laughing. He said, man, I'm concerned about your family. You're laughing. Why are you laughing? I said, God just answered. God just provided for me. He said, what? I said, yeah, God just provided for me. I said, what are you talking about? I said, look, I'm a covenant guy. I'm a tither. I'm a child of the king. He's going to take care of me. You know what I'm going to do if all that happens? I'm coming to your house because you've stored it all up. He goes, oh man. I said, you going to shoot the preacher over food that lasts 90 years? And we had a big gap. But look, we need to think that way. Why don't we think that way? We make fun of a 13-year-old boy that said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He said, who is this guy? He doesn't have a covenant with the living God. He said, not our armies. He didn't look to himself. Not our stuff. Not our abilities. He didn't look to none of that. He said, the armies of the living God. I got a covenant with the living God. I'm the sign that there is a God. By the way, now one of the things a covenant does not promise is problem free. We were having that discussion the other night. A covenant does not promise that I'm not going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death or problems or whatever. But it does promise his hand will be there to guide me. He thinks we're a sign of his goodness. Wow. Are we living in the wilderness? Or are we living up there? First of all, two things quickly. What's the sign? What's different about us in the world? You know, I can teach people not to cuss and drink and chew and hang around those who do. You can teach people how to do that without being saved. I can teach people to cut their hair and put it up in a bun and not wear makeup and all those other things. I can teach people to come to church. But what's the difference? So what's the difference between us and them? Now, are all those things good? Yeah, I don't think you should drink and cuss and chew and hang around those who do and whatever else. You know, go swimming with bow-legged women or whatever you want to say, you know. I mean, yeah, okay. I try to leave, you know, I try not to do those things, you know. What's the difference? What does God say is the sign that you have a covenant? Well, let's let the Bible tell us. In Exodus 33, look at this. It says this. Let me set some context. This is when God got mad at the children of Israel and said, Moses, I'm going to send my angel. He's just going to wipe out all the giants, kill all the, he's going to go, and we're going to give you all that, but I ain't going. I ain't going. God said that to Moses. Look at what Moses said. Look at this. This is incredible. For how then will it be known that your people have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people on the face of the earth. What separates me, what people ought to know that I have a covenant is because of His presence. His presence is with me. How are they going to know, Lord? No, you can't send an angel. It isn't just because of prosperity. I know the prosperity gospel, it got goofy and told them all, that's the only way you know if you're rich. Only problem with that, you can't preach that in India because nobody's rich. But they sure love God. It's got to be more than an outward sign. It's got to be more than... And Moses said, what separates us from the world is your presence. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So everything, everywhere I go, everything of His presence, His peace, His power, His joy goes with me. Amen. The second way is His way of life. His attributes. If you plant the Holy Spirit in you, His presence, you're going to get something. Well, what is that? Here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is when you plant something, and whatever you plant, you get that, right? So when the presence of God is love, joy, peace, long suffering. Oh, shoot. What the heck is that? It means sometimes you're going to have to suffer through some things and suffer with some people. Look at that. I mean, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control. Oh, I'm preaching about self-control in the middle of a fast. Yeah. Look, and those who are Christ have put off the flesh with His passion. Now, if we live, He's confirming verse 22. Look, if you're going to be a sign that there is a covenant, that you are under covenant. If you're going to live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I have, in this last year, I have heard and seen more fear and anxiety. Suicide is skyrocketing. Worry, fear. Fear, the Bible clearly says, God has not given us fear. So if I got it, where is it coming from? And here's what the Lord told me. Too many of my children have settled with wilderness living. When you're a slave or when you're in the wilderness, you have no dream because you're just trying to survive that day. You're just trying to get out. You have no goals. You have no promised land in mind. You're just trying to get through the day. You're just trying to survive. You're just trying to make it through. With no joy, no peace. Golly, when Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Doing life on your own without the direction of the Lord, that's wilderness living. Well, I'm just doing the best I can, Brother Allen. Well, that's wilderness living. When God says, "I called you to be overcomers. I've called you to possess your promised land. I've called you to be a sign that there is a God who makes covenant. That there is a God, that I'm under a covenant with God." Do I have problems? Yes. Sometimes people hurt my feelings. Yes. Sometimes we're walking through stuff as our family. Yes. But it should never steal my promised land. Love and joy and peace. I watched my dad taught many lessons. He wasn't a perfect man. By any stretch, and I don't portray him to be. But he would say before I went out somewhere, and sometimes I didn't listen, I will admit. He would look at me and said, "Alan, now remember your last name. Remember who you are." And that's what I'm doing here this morning. I'm trying to remind you. If you're saved, you're a sign of the covenant of the Most High God. I should walk. Who is this non-covenant carrying person compared to our God? I watched that same man. When he called us all in, he wasn't doing well. He decided he wasn't going on dialysis. They said, "The only way you're going to live is going on dialysis." And so he started a little downward spiral, and they called us all into the hospital. And I watched my dad smile and said, "Now look, I'm fixing to go be with Jesus." And I watched my dad tell us, "I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be good. In fact, I'm going to be better than y'all." And he started smiling. He said, "But remember who you are." If I am saved, I've got to remember who I am. I am a part of a covenant. I'm part of a covenant that is backed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. I start off by saying, this is a very personal thing. And that's the way we're going to do the whole service. You know, normally, sometimes I have people down here praying for you. Sometimes I have people praying for each other. First of all, if you don't know Christ, if you've never given your heart to Christ, here's what I want to say to you, you might have had knowledge of God, but you've never had an experience with God. Because when you have an experience with God, it changes you. You might know about God, but if you've never given your heart, then you don't know the Lord. And you're not part of that covenant. But some of you, a lot of you, look at me please, hear this. I'm trying to stir you up this morning. Stop settling for less than. A lot of you have crossed over Jordan. You're a Christian. You remember the time that you gave your heart to God. But you got all these giants. You got all these walled cities. You got all these. And you don't have any of those promises that I talked about. I don't know. See, not knowing His presence, not feeling His presence. Sometimes I sit there and I just start crying because I feel God. I start smiling. I start laughing. Is God in my emotions? No. But God uses emotions. I know He's there. In the wilderness, you don't know His presence. And too many Christians are settling for wilderness living. And it's just time to stop. Don't neglect so great a salvation. Now here's my question to you. Are you hearing me? What's holding you back? What do you need to get rid of? What do you need to put off? Is it unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? Is it something that's good? I know men. See, I'm old enough now to have seen the completion of all this. When Micah was in Little League, I know men that spent every waking day and they would not allow their son to miss practice. And they paid all this money to have extra tutors and all this stuff, not giving a thought to their son's character. And see, now I'm old enough to see the end game. They're not even thinking about that no more, but their son ain't got no character. They don't care about church. They come up to me, Brother Allen, please pray for, you know, so-and-so, you help coach him, and he's so sometimes, some of the things we got to get rid of are not bad things. They're just not kingdom things. But see, that's why it's personal. Am I going to coach Little League Baseball this year? God, yes. Amy kept having children, so I guess I got to keep doing. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm saying. It needs to take its proper place. It's more important that my son knows Christ. It's more important that my son's a good man. It's more important that my son knows how to pray. Am I spending time? Do I need to cut off? Some of you are so busy. You ain't got time for church or life group. When I say, man, you need to join a life group, first thing you think is, God, I can't join one more thing. Something's got to be cut off. Something's got to be put off before we can possess what God says we can possess. I need to be around people that are going to feed my spirit.